This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello everyone, good evening and welcome to Access All Areas with me, Stephen Leng, and for one show only, the very gorgeous Elma. Hello!
Hello!
Love Island's Elma. Is that a weird name to have now? You're
it
officially...
Is. It is, it's so strange. Like, even people approach me, they're like, Elma, and I'm like, oh, hi! And then I'm like, oh,
you think they think
yeah,
they
know me.
What was it like? It was a little while ago. Well, not a little while ago, but it was quite a brief period.
Yeah, very brief.
That you were in there. And it was a few weeks ago now, right?
Yeah, like, so it was. I was in the actual villa for 6 days, mm-hmm. and then been out for now 2 weeks exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all been, because everything's happened in one go. It's like very overwhelming, but it's good. It's positive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, and you probably didn't have enough time there to make a fool of yourself.
No,
so that's
exactly. Done well.
Yeah. What was the experience like for you?
Do you know what? I'm so glad I done it. I would have regretted it in the long run not doing it. So, yeah, it was there was nothing negative that could have possibly come from it, I personally don't think. So, to me, it was, yeah, I'm glad I done it.
I thought you were quite good. I've been in and out of Love Island, so I haven't watched every episode. But the stuff I did see of you, I thought you were quite good at being kind of honest and just kind of saying how things were.
Yeah, I like to think I'm like a really fair, honest person, like in general. So I hope that come across that way. I've not seen it all, so I don't know what has
been. Are you going to watch it?
I don't know, it cringes me out. I've watched like little bits and I thought, oh, the sound of my own voice just gets me. So I was like, nah.
You'll get used to it, I promise.
At least I'll have, like, in years to come, I've got the memories for it.
Yeah, exactly. And you can show the grandkids.
Yeah, exactly.
What have you made of the drama of the last couple of days, you know, with Curtis and all that?
I'm so emotionally invested. Like, I cry. I think I've cried more in the last like 3-4 nights and I've cried in the probably a year.
So everyone's feeling very sorry for, and her name's just gone out of my head,
Amy.
Yes.
I feel sorry for her because I really think that she's been like really genuine with all of her feelings. You know, she's never had a boyfriend before, she's 26 years of age. Like, it's horrible thinking that, like, she was coming back in to say that she loved him. Imagine. And he's turned around and been like, yeah, well, basically I would have cracked on with someone else if she accepted me, but she didn't accept me. So
what would you say to them if you were in there?
To Curtis?
Yeah, both of them.
I'd tell him to do one.
Really?
Yeah, I'd just say, do you know what? Stay away from all girls for a while. Mm-hmm. Give it a couple of days. And then to Amy, I'd just make her feel better about herself. I don't think there's anything you could say to someone in that position that would make them feel any better. I'd just doll her up, like put all her makeup on, do her hair, make her feel special.
The problem in there is you can't escape, can you?
No.
It's
like living with your ex, regardless. Like one little argument, then you're not even over, and it's like living with your ex.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
It's the worst
thing.
And also, they've been together pretty much consistently, haven't they?
Yeah,
since the beginning.
Mm.
So, yeah, it must be quite hard on her.
Yeah.
But who knows what's going to happen next? There's so many twists and turns.
Oh, always so many twists with it, especially this season. I feel like this whole episode of this whole series of Love Island has been completely different to any other. There's been ways too many twists. I can't keep up with it myself.
Well, and it's funny as well, because there are some points people are like, oh, this is quite a boring series, and then suddenly
it really changed up. Like, I know, it was like, it taught everyone a lesson. That was like, yeah, you stick that in your pipe and smoke, you lot. Like, you think that we're boring, we're not boring. That's ITV telling us all laugh.
And that's true actually as well, like you're gonna be like forever related to the show, right? Like, so you say like you are part of like a group.
I
now,
feel like it,
like,
yeah. I feel like they're my family. Like, even watching it, like, I'm not screaming at the telly. I'm like, no, don't let him do that to you. Like, yeah, it is. They are, to me, when you, I know it sounds silly, and I think people don't really get it unless you've kind of been in it, but even only living in there for 6 days, you talk to these people, you do everything to these people.
Yeah.
Like, you're farting next to them, do you know what I mean? Like, burping, everything, sleeping. You naturally, whether you like it or not, like, you feel like you've known them for bloody ages. So, yeah. They are family to me.
Was it upsetting when you went out? I mean, obviously no one wants to go out that quickly, and it was a bit of like last in, first out, wasn't it?
Very much so. Do you know what? I think I always think everything happens for a reason. So I was positive the whole time, like through the whole experience. I was saying, what's for me won't pass me. Like, if my time is up now, my time is up now. That's not the end of the world for me. Like, I was initially given the first lineup opportunity and I declined it anyway. So to me, to them,
how come?
Just wasn't really in the right headspace for it. I was thinking, oh no, like I think it was just too quick for me to kind of, like, I don't know, absorb it and like break it down. And
so were you quite a last minute addition to the show then?
No, the whole process was like from January, so
right,
I knew
okay.
about it, but I think the whole time I was like, it's never gonna be me. And then when it came, they were like, no, we want you as first lineup. I was like, no, you don't, like, you don't want me as first lineup. And they're like, no, we do. I was like, no. And then I just said no. I was like, absolutely not, I'm not gonna do it.
So, but I think it tends to be that people that are in the first lineup go on to win.
Yeah, generally speaking. So I mean, who knows? It could have been someone else having this conversation with you. But as I said, everything happens for a reason. So to me, I think if I'd have gone in first lineup, something bad might have happened.
Is that what you think?
Mean? Yeah. So the way it's all happened for me, this is like the best possible outcome in terms of, like, I went in, didn't make a prat of myself.
Yeah.
Come
true.
Back out, and you know, I've had really positive support, which is great. Like, do you know what I mean?
And not guaranteed when you've done a reality show.
No, exactly. I was adamant. I was like, the first thing I said to my brother when I spoke to him, I was like, do they hate me? He was like, no.
Yes.
He was literally like, no, everyone likes you. I was like, oh, that's great. It's positive.
But if you would have got him first, then you maybe would have met Callum.
I know.
And there's some rumours that you and him maybe have a little thing.
Who knows?
I'm just don't give me the that stop towie answer.
No, honestly, I'm just out here living my best life. Who knows?
But I mean, he's a handsome boy. We had him on the show last week.
He's gorgeous, really. And he's a lovely boy, lovely personality.
So you've met him.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
getting on well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're very good at this,
I
aren't
know.
You? Jeez.
I've been practicing in front of the mirror.
Is he the kind of guy you're into?
I don't have a type.
Right, okay.
Honestly, like, if someone makes me laugh longer than a couple of seconds, then chances are that's me.
Done for
but,
the night.
Yeah, that's me. No, do you know what? I'm inside out rather than outside in. That's,
okay.
That's how I always
inside
work.
Inside out.
So that personality
okay,
rather
right,
than
fine.
Looks. Yeah, that's just me. As
but the thing is with Love Island is that everyone looks lovely anyway, don't they?
Yeah, so you're quite lucky really, aren't you? But you know what, that was freaking me out as well. I was thinking, if I'm first lineup, I've got to step forward for someone without getting to know him. That was literally stressing me out. I was
yeah,
thinking,
that's true.
Am I going to do that?
Yeah.
Because like, everyone's good looking. You can't sit there and go, well, I'll be stepping forward for everyone. They'll be like, well, what do you want? Like, who do you want? So it's probably worked out better anyway.
Okay, well, good. Okay, well, we have a show to get on with. So you are going to be sitting in Lizzie Cundy's seat today, co-presenting with me. We have Chris James in the studio. And we also have Crystal Rasmussen. I've got in the studio, but also on the phone written down. So need to work that out. And it's also Independence Day today. So we're going to be playing some American theme songs. And it's also Pride on Saturday in London, which I will be partying at. So we're going to play some gay anthems
yes,
today.
Yes, love that.
And also after this, I am shooting off because I have to go to a gay spin class for the Albert Kennedy Trust. Which is Eurovision theme. So I'm going to be living my best life the next
you
few days.
Are.
And Celine Dion tomorrow. I mean,
oh my God,
can my life
are.
Get any better?
Clearly not.
No, clearly not. So let's play a little bit of RuPaul. Let's play a little bit of RuPaul and then hopefully we'll get Chris into the studio. I am America, America.
Shining sea. Everybody came here wanting to be free. New York to California, see the shining sea. Everybody, everybody, everybody. I am American. I am
with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame, excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio. And a Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. So I put my hands up to play my song. The butterflies fly away. Nodding my head like yeah. Moving my hips like yeah. Got my hands up to play my song. We know I'm gonna be okay. Yeah. It's a party in the USA. Yeah. It's a party in the USA. Get to the club in my taxi cab. Everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girls not around me. It's definitely not a Nashville party. Cause all I see are stilettos. I guess I never got the memo. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the DJ drummed my favorite tune. And the Britney song was on. And the Britney song was on. And the Britney.
Fully living our best American lives today. Party in the USA. Geez. We have our first guest in the studio, the very lovely Chris James.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in. Yeah, it was a little while ago. You came in before. You were in a band.
I was, yeah. Now I'm on my own.
What happened?
Oh, you all fell out. Girlfriends.
Hating each
religion,
other.
Religion. you wouldn't even want to know. It just goes on and on and on.
It was quite a while ago, right?
So, well, I came in actually about 12 months ago to discuss just like a common day topic, and then I came in previously before that with my band.
But yeah.
So that was a disaster. We got offered a big record deal, went to LA, recorded the album, and then one of the guys met a girl on tour and just became a reborn again Christian. And
oh, so is that actually true?
This that's actually exactly what happened. So he just thought that music was satanic and told the label that he wouldn't be returning from America because he was from Florida. And yeah, I've never seen him since. We were best friends for 7 years. I live with him, so he left me in London with a house and everything. And thank
goodness, oh my God,
I got re-signed by a label because I had to be back in Liverpool on the street busking, you know.
Jeez, so, yeah. That's quite a good story, to be honest.
Well, after 7 years, you know, I mean, that's kind of what made me write the next song that I've just about to release, because it's kind of like after devoting 7 years of your life into like a project for it to just be. I mean, literally, the label just closed the accounts. There was no money. We were all just fired within 24 hours.
A book.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the next thing. That's the
album. You should, honestly. I can't believe it. My mum asked it before.
But you know, when you think you know people, like I was like, best friends, you know, obviously it's a bit cliche, boys being in a band and being best friends. But I live with Kyle for like 5 years. And yeah, it was just weird. It wasn't him anymore. He'd become like all about Jesus and
possessed by Jesus.
We know, you know, religions, if you, whatever you believe, but I think in 3 months to be converted to hating music when he'd done it for, I mean, he was in bands before, he was quite well known in Germany in a band, you know, it was like a part of a reality TV show. So yeah, that might be my past like 18 months. So now I've had to like rebuild myself.
You're in recovery from that.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing since?
So I went begging and pleading to the label, like saying, look, I write the song, so I think you need to give me a record deal. And so they were like, look, we'll do one song and we'll see how that goes. And thank goodness it went top 40 in the UK. And so I was very lucky, got a second single, and that's what's brought me now to this current single, which has just been released. So, But yeah, it is about mental health and depression, which is obviously led from that experience.
Did you go through that then afterwards?
I kind of let a little bit, because you know, I mean, life in the music industry is fabulous when it's good, but it's like feast or famine, I suppose, like in any entertainment, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So I decided, like, I went through a little bit of, like, do I quit music because, you know, I'm not 21 anymore, do you know what I mean? I'm 22 and a half, but, you know. So I went through a lot of, not major depression, but a lot of anxiety about what am I going to do next and stuff. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just write for other artists because I would think I'm quite a strong writer. So I do a lot for, like, film and television, and I'll read a book and write so many songs for the book that will then transpire into a film. None to be synced yet, but, you know.
Fine.
I'm only 18
one
months
day.
In. Exactly.
Yeah.
It only takes one.
Yeah,
so
it really does.
So I did go through some issues, like, mentally, but nothing to the point where I was going seeking medication. But you know, I've got most of my friends are involved in entertainment, and they are daily. I think everybody has some sort of mental issue, but I think we're quite concerned about speaking about it. And I feel like the past 12 months or so, what I've seen out there, people are actually expressing how they feel more now, which...
But do you think sometimes there has been a bit of a backlash to that, for people talking about it so much, because some people are maybe over-egging it a bit and making something out of nothing?
That's very true, yeah. But I think there is actually people with serious problems that don't speak about it, and they're the ones that you don't know, and they end up... You're not seeing them again. You know, I've had a lot of friends, not a lot, but one survived, but two unfortunately passed away. And you would never know. They're just like normal people. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the next day, you get a call to say they've taken their own life, you know. And it can only be due to society's pressures, I would say.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, or debt, or not feeling like they're good enough type of thing.
And that's actually been something that's happened with Love Island, hasn't it?
Yeah.
There's been quite a bit. Have you had aftercare?
We've had such good aftercare. Like, we've been so far, obviously, it's only been 2 weeks, but everyone's really consistent, which is nice. And it's not just one person doing it. There's, like, multiple people that work for ITV that are, you know, doing their best to check up on you. It's not even that they have to. They're just doing it just because they want to.
Yeah, and it's really lovely.
It's just reassuring as well, I think.
Yeah, I bet.
As you said, in today's society, like, things can become... so overwhelming, and you just don't even know that you're caught up in something, and you are.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice to hear, because I mean I know some people that work in television, but you don't know about, I mean, aftercare. You know, you would never think that exists. So it's nice that these networks are doing that. You know what I mean?
But the music industry is probably not
because it's kind of, I think with music there's a lot of money invested, and if you don't recoup that, then you don't go forth. Whereas maybe it's the same with television. If you don't have so many, you know, viewers, then you get hacked.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, music's very high stress, and I think you see a lot of musicians passing on because of that stress, because they become very successful, and the more successful, the more they need to give, you know. Mm-hmm. And we only got little squidgy thing up here, do you know what I mean? And if that starts to get a bit stressed out, it's very serious. But I'm fine.
Thank God for that.
Yes, aftercare, thank you. But I've got a great label, which obviously had seen. It's the same label, actually, that had the band, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
So I kind of just went to them and went, look, 7 years has passed. I really don't want to go back to the grind of having to get back to what, you know, I've played in bars in Liverpool where if your ear or your nose wasn't bitten off, you weren't normal, you know, holding my speakers while people are punching each other.
Jeez.
So I've had good ground, and I just didn't want to, not there's anything wrong with that, but I didn't want to go back into that after being LA doing videos. And I'm like, oh my God, what's happened? So I'm very happy, and I'm on my third single, and my album I'm currently writing, which I'm about 8 tracks into, which is going to be really
That's
good.
That's awesome. What's the sound?
So I didn't usually, you know, we always have a like genre. It's totally different, because I think myself, I'll pick an album and go, well, I like tracks 2, 4, and 6, the rest is nah. So I've written an album with my best mate that is just, there's ballads, there's disco, there's funk, there's electro, there's pop, you know, a bit of dance, because I think it's probably going to be the only album I do, so I might as well be proud of it. You know
why,
what I mean?
Well, yeah, but you never know. Like you said, it really takes one track to transcend. And
but, you know, I've been doing 15 years in the music industry, and I'm, as an artist, I love it. But I think probably if the album doesn't go as well, I'm going to set a management company up because I know so many people now, and I'd really like to develop like a teeny bopper act and, like, you know, get them really, really well developed from an artist's perspective, mm-hmm. not finance or pushing them what they don't want to do, because there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. But it's happening, you know, at the minute with Taylor Swift, isn't it?
Oh,
and this
goodness,
whole thing with Scooter
that,
Braun.
Yeah, that's a bit, you know, but at the end of the day, I mean, he's a great music manager, but I mean, he's basically owns
every. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, she's very independent, Taylor, isn't she? So it's kind of like.
Exactly. But yeah. I mean, and also at her level, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars and, like.
That's big.
Yeah,
money.
Big money. Like, I can't possibly even comprehend how much. Like, but for most people, the music industry isn't like that these days.
No,
right?
No.
Like, obviously, because not everyone can be a Taylor Swift.
No. But, you know, I think a lot of these acts that come through and they sustain, they've come from, like, she came from television, Disney Networks, and that's like the Jonas Brothers, you know. Mm-hmm. If you come from a great foundation like that, you always have a better longevity in a music career. You know, reality TV's musically, again, you know, 5-10% are like keepers, the rest just. You know, I've got friends that have been in it and they're like, well, what do we do now? I've had 12 months of like being a household name. I can't get a job because I'm not employable for. Can't go and stack shelves in Tesco because everyone would be like pointing the finger. So it is like, what do? You know, it's really, really. So you've got to really push
keep
yourself.
Going.
You've got to keep going, you know? So yeah.
Keep going and hope for the best.
Absolutely. That's all you can do, isn't it, really?
Well, I think
it's
the same in any job,
absolutely,
isn't it?
You're just right.
It's just the music industry does have a reputation for being hard.
It is.
I'm really painting a nice picture for you.
But it is lovely, though. You know, if you get to do it and you can be creative, I've just been very lucky that I've got a very supportive label and publisher. So I can go out and I fly away and do writing sessions with loads of creative people. But that's the nice side of it, you mm-hmm. know. But I suppose, as you say, in every business, I'm sure in television, it's the same. You've got the kind of catty side and then you've got the really fab red carpet looking amazing.
Yeah,
everyone
yeah,
thinks
yeah.
you're like, oh, look at me. Instagram.
And you're from Liverpool, like, that's it. It's a town built on that kind of thing, isn't it?
It's totally. It's very holographic. Let's put it that way. Like my entertainment, where I am is very holographic. Everyone's like, "Wow, you've had a tough one. You must be so rich." And I'm like, "Yeah, I just about pay the bill next month." You know,
the rent's paid. Yeah,
yeah,
but
as long as the rent's paid, I'm fine.
Well, there are a lot of big acts from Liverpool, right? Does that kind of like? Do people assume you're? Like you said, you're going to be like the next Cilla Black. That's the first band that came
out. That's a fabulous comparison. Thank you so much for the Cilla Black. You do know she ended up dead with a bottle of vodka in her hand, 56. No, no. But actually, Cilla's fabulous. I have to say, like, growing up, you know, Liverpool, your DNA is the Beatles. So, mm-hmm. but my uncle was a big musician in Liverpool, so he was of the Cavern era where he wasn't famous, but he would be, you know, playing with a lot of
on the
lads
scene
that
kind
were,
of thing. Yeah.
yeah. So, and one of his best mates is Jerry Marsden, who was in Jerry Marsden, the Pacemakers, who sung mm-hmm. "You'll Never Walk Alone." You know, mm-hmm. that's a big mm-hmm. hit. So, I've been around that as a kid, and a lot of my influences come from the Beatles. Not so much Cilla Black, but you know,
I don't know why that was the first person that came
songs.
Into my head. I think that's
the voice. I think.
My big gay ass. First thing I could think of. So what, you've got a song out now, I'll Be Here?
I'll Be Here, yeah. And what? Again, it was kind of, you know, about, it's a self-help song for people to let them know that, like, it is okay not to feel okay. And if you don't, you need to speak to somebody and don't think that there's going to be nobody there. Because most people think, oh, they won't listen or they're not asked. It's not, you know, it's not their problem, so I'm not going to bother them. Mm-hmm. So the song is, because I've been through it, I refer to the depression as the black dog. When it bites hard, I kind of get that because I've been there. So, you know, I'll be there for you. But obviously I can't be there for everyone. But it's really for my friends. But it's to let the general public know that, you know, it is okay not to feel okay. And when you're not feeling okay, just talk about it to someone that you're close to, you know, mm-hmm. and everything's going to be fine.
Well, yes, and hopefully it will be.
It will. I guarantee it. Well, your money back.
And you said your album, when's the album out?
So the album is now being pushed. It was meant to be the end of the year. It's now going to be March of 2020, but I've got another single out between then, which is like a George Michael disco, which is going to be so
I was actually
so
thinking you've got
that.
Kind of a George Michael look going
but
on.
But when I go to America, they love it, but I don't think it's that great here because it's kind of like he's an ex-artist who's dead. And America is like this whole amazing, like, there's like shrines to George Michael, so they're like, oh, you look like a young girl. I'm like, okay, I'll take that. And when I go into label meetings, they're like, do you know, we could really work with that look, you know, and if you sound good, then I sing, and they go, actually, okay, we'll do something. So it's quite good, that look, but I'm not trying to be him.
Yeah.
But actually, the next song is kind of like him from the 90s, so whatever.
Perfect. Do you find that it's a bit easier in America or harder here, or how does it work?
Well, you know, it's like when I was in a band, you know, we didn't really do much here. I think we had a top 40 in the whole 7 years, but in America, you could be the next One Direction. So it's like, as soon as you get, if you've got a good PR manager, and we got to do all these film premieres and stuff, and they're just like, the scheme from England, London, they just had a top, and so the press just go mental. But I mean, you could be no one, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I love it for that reason, because I don't like going
to events.
You
quite like the glitz and glam side of it.
Yeah, of course. It's fun, isn't it? But I just take it for what it is. But in London, I don't really like it, because I understand that in London, I'm like just a lad from Liverpool trying to make a living out and singing music, you know. And so to turn up to red carpets, I freak out a little bit, because it's like, why they don't want to take my picture? I know that in LA I can be like, yeah, I've just I'm doing this. So I love it in LA, but yeah, so here I do like the red carpets, but only in LA.
Fine. Well, that's quite a glam thing to
it
say.
Is,
anyway,
it's
the A-list
just in Beverly Hills, you know. I'm joking.
Okay, well, do you want to introduce your new song?
I'd love
as well.
Hey, this is Chris James, and this is my new single, I'll Be Here.
When you feel you're slipping under, you're a rabbit in the headlights, and you're worried that in heaven, your name's not on the door. We can read it in the headlines, a sunny life is quite rare these days. No dancing in the sunshine, we're all crawling on the floor. Who am I to tell anybody how they should feel? But a little bit of heartache can be good for the soul. It's destiny, come on baby, stick with me. I know about the black dog when it bites hard. I'll be here, here, here. When you're falling, here, here. I'll catch you when you fall. No more tears, tears, tears. No need to hide away, it's alright, I got this. I'll catch you when you fall. Shaking hands with the devil, he'll grab a hold, you'll never let you go. You never know when it's your turn to stay there. Sometimes I sit and wonder, it's much better to clear the air. There's always some heartache in this skeleton cage. It's destiny, come on baby, stick with me. Grab a handful of life and then we'll bite hard. I'll be here, here, here. When you're falling, here, here. I'll catch you when you fall. No more tears, tears, tears. No need to hide away, it's alright, I got this. I'll catch you when you fall. I'll catch you when you fall. I'll be here.
We're gossiping. The song is finishing.
We're gossiping.
We have our second and final guest, the very gorgeous Crystal.
Hi, you're, so nice to be here.
You're Crystal, but not looking like Crystal.
I don't know, it depends what you can let your imagination do. I think I look like Crystal right now.
Well, I mean, of course
you do.
Do you
want me to explain how I look?
No, that wasn't what I was going to say. Do you want to?
I've got gorgeous red curly hair, perfectly contoured cheeks and... incredibly high heels and an ingrown toenail. That's Crystal.
Delicious. How are you?
I'm good. I'm super well. I'm, you know, just getting ready for my Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming off the back of a book tour, which all sounds really glamorous. I mean, Edinburgh's not so glamorous, but...
Yeah, I imagine Edinburgh's just a bit of a nightmare, to be honest.
Well, it depends.
Very busy, lots of stuff going on, people, places, things you're supposed to be at.
Yeah, well, it depends who you are, because obviously I have a team of 55, and you know, I just don't lift a finger.
They're all here.
They're all here. Yeah, exactly. That's why it's so hot in the studio, because they're all just breathing down our necks. They won't let me say anything I want to say. But no, I have a team of 55 who do everything for me. So all I have to do is go on stage. Do the show.
And let them pull the strings.
Yes, let them pull the strings, and I literally get carried home, and I get given a tranquilizer, sleep all day. So Edinburgh
the dream.
For me is, you know, exactly, the dream. Edinburgh for me is just sort of, you know, a different space, but still, I'm getting ready for that, and I'm really excited.
So have you done Edinburgh before?
I've done Edinburgh before with the drag band I was in, Denim, who've been on this show before, on Callum McSwiggan's show.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
I don't know her, actually, so.
No, me neither. She's... Not at all. Never heard of her. But yeah, I've done it twice before and I loved it. But this is the first time going solo.
Okay.
Back when I did Pornography, I you know, I was in a group then as well. And then when I went solo, it was scary. But after a while, you know, you really get into it. And so I'm looking forward to having an hour on stage to myself just to talk about the most important thing in the world, which is, you know, me.
Nice to yourself.
Yeah, of course.
I really like how you really got Elva's attention then when you said you did.
I know, yeah.
You're like, what?
I wish I was that interesting. My God, no, I've lived a very sheltered life.
How did you first start doing drag, other than the way that I did, which was wearing my grandma's heels when we'd stay over for the night?
Well, that's literally how I started too. It's sort of like building a character in my bedroom with like duvet covers and pillows, and be like, oh my God, I look so rich. And like, I grew up, you know, with not much money. And so back then, all I wanted to do was like be this glamorous woman, you know, and now I am. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, so I started that way. And then I guess eventually I was invited onto stage because I met some drag queens and they were like, do you do a drag? And then I did it and I loved it. And then now it's sort of like my full-time fucking job, which is...
Who would have ever imagined?
Well, probably me, I guess. Like, no, I'm kidding. But, yeah, I mean, seriously, though, I was talking about this weirdly today because I was actually on a podcast. Don't know if you've heard of them. But, No, never. But I was on a podcast, and we were talking about this. And it's so weird because back then when I created Crystal, she was all about the fantasies that I could, like, never be. So she was, like, beautiful and rich and thin and American, as you can tell, because my real voice is actually Lancastrian. But she could do anything that I wasn't basically allowed to there. Uh-huh. So she was super sex positive and whatever. And obviously as my life, when I'm not in drag, has got closer to that. Obviously I'm not an international American woman, but I'm nearly there. And so, you know, it's weird, like, I don't really know where she stops and I begin in the best way. Whereas mm-hmm. back then she was totally separate to me. Mm-hmm. Something I'd do behind a closed door. And now she's like, you know, we are within each other all the time.
Oh, that sounds a bit sexual.
Well, it is. Oh, that's a very sexual experience being me.
Every
being
day.
Both of us. Exactly. Have you ever done drag? Have you ever done drag?
No.
No, you're so intriguing. I could literally, I think I could sit and listen to you all day long.
Oh my God, I could sit here and listen to you too.
Oh, stop it.
You should do drag. Oh my God.
I've seen a couple of female drag queens, but actually none in this country. I've seen them in America and in Australia, but never here.
There's quite a few here.
Really?
Or a few, I think a few of them are non-binary, but, you know, assigned female at birth, but I think there's a lot of amazing, really out in the bars and often in like gallery spaces, there's like these incredible drag performers who are completely redressing what we think of as drag.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
as this
yeah.
like sort of quite old school, like acidic drag thing, which I love as well. It's important to honor your heritage, of course. You know, those like northern queens from where I came from who are like, you fucking get out of my bar. It's like, I love it. It's really important. But, you know, you have these, there's an exhibition on actually at the moment at the Hayward Gallery. I sound so posh. And it's called Kiss My Genders. And it's all these incredible.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've seen the pictures.
You must go. Because it really like redresses loads of drag imbalance. And I think it's really important because, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, which, you know, I'm a fan of, it really only says that, like, men can be drag queens, and that's not true. Like,
well, and RuPaul himself has some maybe quite backward views
problematic
about...
Problematic views.
Yeah, but then...
Have you ever watched RuPaul's Drag Race?
I haven't, no.
You haven't?
No.
Okay, well, I'll watch Love Island, and you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, and we'll understand each other's world. Honestly.
Well, but, I mean, I watch both.
Right.
So I am the bridge
I've
between
heard
the two
similar,
worlds.
Actually.
Well, but the thing with RuPaul is, like, for instance, yeah, he said that a woman who transitioned uh-huh. to being a full woman probably wouldn't be allowed to be on the show.
Yeah.
And then the next season, there was a woman... Woman that had fully transitioned.
Yeah.
So do you think even he is having his kind of boundaries challenged as a very liberal Western, you know, like...
Well, I mean, that's the point, though. Liberal isn't necessarily radical, right?
Yes,
and
that's
I think
true.
The responsibility of drag is to be radical in many ways. So,
but a lot of people wouldn't even know drag if it wasn't for RuPaul, right? So that's... It's like an introduction into the whole thing.
Right, right.
For some people.
Of course, but I also think it claims to carry like the central torch for what drag is and means today. And so I think it does have a responsibility to represent the wider drag community, which mm-hmm. is, you know, it's trans folk, but it's also non-binary people and it's also drag kings, you know, and it would be kind of amazing to see that.
So yeah, I think, yeah, that's true.
But I think the thing is RuPaul has, you know, I don't want to delete RuPaul's incredible legacy. Like, you're right. The reason I'm probably in full-time work is because of RuPaul in some sort of like liquefied way or whatever. But at the same time, I think you can have idols and still call them out. I think that's what having an idol is about, right? You've got to be able to critique yeah. your idol, or else you're just like, I don't know, delusional. Although people can't critique me because I've never actually done anything wrong. And I am the idol of many people, so...
Yeah, what do you think about the fact, like, with Love Island, mm-hmm. there's never been a gay... There's never been a... Well, there was one bisexual couple a couple of years ago, Sophie Graydon, if I remember rightly. But there's never been any of that kind of wider sexuality stuff. What do you think? It kind of doesn't lend itself to it in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I did hear rumours for this year. I thought there was going to be. But, it just doesn't seem... Hasn't really been brought to anyone's attention.
How would you do
That's
it?
Kind of yeah. the thing, isn't it? It's like a bit like if you're trying to pair people up. How do you just have end up having so many people, I think, is the point, isn't it?
I mean, they asked me to be on the island this year.
They did?
But I've actually dated all the boys on there already, so it was too weird because they'd have all chosen me. So
and
I had
all
to
the girls
down.
Would have hated you.
Well, and I've dated all them too, so you know, it's not the first time we've met. But I think it's a... You know, I think it's... I think ideally, wouldn't it be great if everyone could do it with everyone? But that's also maybe not like...
Not the point of the show, maybe.
Well, quite. Also, maybe it's, you know... Is it ITV?
There are
ITV.
Well, they are. MTV, I think, are doing a bisexual dating show.
They did the Bi Life.
The
Bi
Life, but there's a new one. There's another new one. Because I saw some clips from it. Yeah, but
Well, it's, but probably also you go into really tricky territory, because remember all those old school shows where it was like Playing It Straight?
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
you've
got to
be so careful. Do you remember Playing It Straight?
No.
Oh my god, it was this show that I obviously founded and wrote. But basically
it was the best
like
show on television.
Yeah, it was like this girl who was like looking for her dream man, and basically it was all these like 20 men went into this house. It was like The Bachelor, but basically you didn't know if they were gay or straight, and they had to trick her.
No.
And there was this one series at the end where she picked this guy and she's like, I love you, and they get money and they split
it. I remember
it. But if the gay guy secretly, like, you know, gets away with being gay, and then he gets to keep all the money, so it's like, what, let's say 100 grand, nothing, cad fare. I'm kidding, I'm broke. But they're like, she's like, oh my god, I love you, Peter, wow, this is it. And then he's like, I'm gay! And
it was
like, she was like heartbroken. Yeah. But it was,
and then he gave her all the money that he won. I remember at the very end of the show, he gave her all the money because he felt so guilty.
All the money?
Yeah.
Oh, that's stupid.
I mean,
you haven't had.
You could have split 50-50. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think he was. I actually knew him because he was Mr. Gay Portsmouth, and I grew up in Portsmouth. So literally on the first show, I was like, gay.
I'm obsessed.
Like, you know,
Mr. Gay Portsmouth. Yeah. My god.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the standard?
I mean, I bet it's stunning. I love a regional gay competition.
I want to know why the show's still not on.
I think it was kind of like problematic.
Like lying to people about your sexuality.
But I mean, it is good TV.
Yeah, it did make good TV back in the day.
It's like that other one. Have you ever heard of, what is it called? Like Exhausted or something like that, where basically...
Knackered.
Literally. Have you heard about it? Where they go into this house and they have to... The contestants have to stay awake for as long as possible. And...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There's a new one, but the old school one is like, they if you fall asleep for 10 seconds, you lose like £1,000 or dollars or whatever.
You're joking.
And what happens is they're like, okay, day one, stay awake. They all stay awake, whatever. Not allowed coffee. Day two, they're like, we're going to give you a 3-hour-long maths lecture. So then they're like falling asleep and they're like, fucking wake up, you're losing us money. It's like awful, but they had to stop it because somebody had a heart attack.
Yeah, you can get psychosis from not sleeping.
From not having enough sleep.
Yeah, totally. And so they had to stop it.
I mean, yeah, that's like health, isn't it?
But this is like the early days
of
reality
show
TV.
I wrote as well.
You just trying to kill everyone.
Exactly.
So what can all this chat of reality TV, what can people expect from your show?
Well, the actual full name of the show is Crystal Rasmussen Presents The Bible 2 Plus A Cure For Shame, Violence, Betrayal and Athlete's Foot Live.
I need all of those things.
Right. Well, you know, and I think basically the whole thing, it's like a live reading of my book, but I'm not actually reading from the book. It's kind of like a...
Oh, it's like with that thing when Julie Andrews lost her voice and then had to perform on stage, so she just read her book to the...
No, but I need to see that.
It's really good.
Send it over. But it's like... the whole thing's about shame and about becoming a drag queen and working out the two. So sort of it starts when I was young, goes through sort of finding love, finding friends, getting attacked. This really bad time. I've been attacked a lot, but this really bad time I was attacked. And it's all about trying to work out basically how to be yourself without sounding super basic. But it's sort of...
How to exist in a world where you could get attacked for being yourself.
I know, that's really upsetting, actually.
And I think a lot of people just don't realise that it happens. Because why would you? If you've never seen it or
if you're someone who's never thought of that as something that's worth attacking.
Yeah.
But I think that it's about getting over that exact feeling, about being like... For all my, when I grew up in high school, and home, and everything was incredibly tricky. A lot of homophobia, a lot of physical violence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's about realizing essentially that you don't deserve that. Because I think for a lot of years, when that's constantly thrown at you, you believe that you deserve it. Mm-hmm. Really. And I think a lot of queer people struggle with that. Mm-hmm. The belief that they deserve to be treated like garbage. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I did loads of crazy things. I had loads of really intense sex because I was looking for a way to, like, you know, really step into the shame. So I was like, you know, how dirty can I go on the show?
You can go dirty. My mum's listening, but...
Hey, Mom, I was, like, pissed in by 5 bears kind of thing. Swear to God.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I was doing things that I, you know, wasn't necessarily right for me. And then basically I realized after I got attacked that I didn't fucking deserve it. And I really believed that. And the show is about getting to that place where you're like, actually, shame doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. And I'm going to not feel that for these things that I am and I'm really proud of as well. So it's kind of getting to that place. The anatomy of a drag queen. Think of it like that.
Okay.
I need to really work on this show because, honest to God, I don't fucking know what it is. Sorry to God.
I mean, is it funny? Is it?
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Sure. It's you know, it's that thing of I wanted it to be hilarious, moving. It's got live vocals.
Music, singing.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I can't talk about my own voice, but I can quote a review that once said, I make Beyonce sound like a mewling kitten. And Vogue once described me as a true icon of the stage and song. So, wow. You know, you're in for a treat.
What can you possibly, you know, get any higher than that?
No.
Really? Why are you doing this show? Because you're only going to disappoint people.
Oh, I'm doing it for the money, basically. That's why. I'm doing it for the money and... no, I don't know. I don't fucking know, actually. But I'm kidding. I'm doing it because there's nothing better than the feeling of live performance when you get to change someone's mind right in front of you and you get to like lift them up. That's, if you can do that, that's like so, I don't know, it can be really transformative in that moment.
Do you find with Edinburgh audiences that they're a bit more open to it because they're there to see kind of confronting
work.
Things? Yeah.
I think it varies. I think sometimes, especially at a drag show, you get people who are like, you know, wasted and they're like, get your fucking top up. And I was like, okay. No, okay. I was like, later.
Come backstage.
Exactly. Serious. I'm looking for a husband. That's why I'm doing it. No, but I think, I think so. Yeah, probably. I mean, the spaces I perform in here in London, they're also like that. They're like the Soho Theatre where I'm doing two previews on the 24th and 5th of July. They're like, just a similar thing where people...
5th of July, tomorrow.
24th and 25th
oh, right,
of July.
Sorry.
Oops. Don't say that. I haven't written it. No, I'm kidding. I've written it. I have. I'll send you the script after. But basically, yeah. It's just, I guess, what I find more interesting is when you go to a space like... We recently did a gig in Halifax. And Halifax is great. It's like near-ish where I grew up. And I think we were a bit like, oh, we never really performed like in a smaller regional space or whatever, which sounds really awful when you say it.
No.
It's hard to take shows out there because often literally the London theater bubble doesn't know how to fucking get to the regions. And it makes me sad because I grew up there. Anyway, we went and it was like the best show ever. And people were like fucking getting their lives. And I think laughing at things that people in London might be a little scared to because they don't want to appear offensive. So,
yeah, true.
You know, I share the stage with my sister Glamour, who's a Muslim drag queen, and she sings songs to Allah. And in London, I think a lot of white people are a bit like, oh, a bit scared. But like in Halifax, people were like creasing on the floor, coming up to us after being like, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So it must be
really nice as well.
It is
the place where you grew
and
up.
And Edinburgh's, I think, the exact mix of that. So I think that's why we keep going back, even though it like literally breaks the bank. But you know, I'm a billionaire, so who cares?
Who gives a shit? Well, Crystal, thanks so much for coming on the show. Thank you forever. Fascinating stuff.
Also, buy my book. It's called Diary of a Drag Queen.
No.
And also buy my other book. It's called The Bible. But everyone's got a copy of that anyway. So.
You can get it in any good hotel.
Yeah. No, thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. So when is Edinburgh? It's August, right?
Yeah, 1st to the 25th, but I'm having a day off on the 12th.
Well, you enjoy that day off because you will have
earned
it.
I'm going to see Ariana Grande.
Oh,
my good friend. Yeah, I'm singing a song with her on stage, whatever.
Oh, stop.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Good luck with the tour.
No.
Hope it goes. Is it a tour? Can you call it a tour?
Yeah.
Is it in one place?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, because I'm doing Carnegie Hall after that, so it's a tour, whatever.
Fab.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in, Alma. Really appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for
having me. Please
You're
come
iconic.
Back again.
I loved meeting you.
Oh, honestly, I want you to carry on talking.
Oh, my God.
Sit here all night. Like.
Well, that'd be great, but it's only an hour long show, guys. So can you finish up? I've got a spin class to go to. So, Spinder. You should come. It's really good.
It's all right. I've not got my sports wear with me.
Oh.
What a shame. I usually carry it everywhere.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Really great to
meet you. And definitely come back into the studio sometime. Do you know what? Lizzie probably won't be here next week, but we'll wait and see. Wait to hear what she calls in and says. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Hi, Mum. Here's a bit of Madonna to play us out because it's Gay Pride Week, isn't it? I mean, it's one of her worst songs, but we can play it anyway. Bye.
Yeah. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Cha, cha, cha. 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 1. Cha, 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 cha.
I took a pill and had a dream.
Yo también.
I went back to my 17th year. Allowed myself to be naive.
Dime.
To be someone I've never been.
Me encanta.
I took a sip and had a dream. And I woke up in Medellin. The sun was caressing my skin.
Dime.
Another me could now begin.
Ooh.
eso está claro. Si siente que voy rápido, le bajo. Discúlpame, yo sé que eres Madonna, pero te voy a demostrar cómo este perro te enamora.
Ven conmigo, let's take a trip.
Si te llevo por lugar lejano.
Ven conmigo, I'll be so good for you.
Te enamoro, te enamoro, mami.
Ven conmigo, let's take a trip.
Dame de eso que tú estás tomando.
Ven conmigo, I'll be so good for you.
Ay, ay, ay. Sipping my pain just like champagne. Found myself dancing in the rain with you. I felt so naked and alive.
Show me.
For once I didn't have to hide myself.
Dice, oye mamacita, ¿qué te pasa? Yeah. Mira que ya estamos en mi casa. Yeah. Si sientes que hay un viaje ahí en tu mente, será por el exceso de aguardiente. Pero mami, tranquila, tú solo vacila. Que estamos en Colombia y hay que rumbo en cada esquina. Y si tú quieres, nos vamos por Detroit. Tú sabes, si sé de dónde vienes, pues sé pa' dónde voy, ¿no?
Ven conmigo, let's take a trip.
Si te llevo por lugar lejano.
Ven conmigo, I'll be so good for you.
Te enamoro, te enamoro, mami.
Ven conmigo, let's take a trip.
Dame de eso que tú estás tomando.
We built a cartel just for love. Venus was hovering above us.
Oh, yeah.
I took a trip and set me free.
Mi reina.
Forgave myself for being me.
Ay, ay, ay. Ven conmigo, let's take a trip.
Si te llevo por un lugar lejano.
Ven conmigo, I'll be so good for you.
Te enamoro, te enamoro, mami.
Ven conmigo, let's take a trip.
Dame de eso que tú estás.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.